Praise God. If you have a Bible lesson to 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 and verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 and 20. Are you alive? Okay, concerning the phone, okay, don't watch the phone, okay? Don't see Facebook. And I want to tell you that all over the world, in many, many churches, it has become that trend. Okay, that means it has become divided worship, divided time for God and yourself. Okay, you're glued to the phone. Okay, what Pastor Lily said is correct. Give God that 3 hours. You know what I mean? We have to give 10% of our time to God. Am I correct? 10% of our time to God. 10% of our time to God. Our time to God. So we also should give 10% of our time to God for today. So 24 hours, 10% is around 2-3 hours. Am I correct? So give God that time. And what Pastor Lily said is correct. It will win you of the mind, and you'll clear your mind, you'll bring you peace in your heart. And I think it is a very good habit. Okay, so don't get offended, okay, by such statement. I think it is very, very good for our church, okay. To be honest, do you know that the LSBC people that came, when Pastor Lily go to the pulpit and say that, they were stunned. Say, wow, Pastor Lily, you really something, huh? We cannot say that in eventual, we cannot say that in LSBC Singapore. You get me on? Cannot say that in LSBC Singapore. What do you mean you cannot say that? Then you let the people be what they want. The Bible says in the last days, men will do what they want. They will just do what they like. Today the world has become, I would like to do what I like to do. Nobody can stop me. No. There must be Lordship of Christ in your life. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 and 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 and 20. Okay, it says here, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Okay, those Nazarites, they don't shave their hair at all. It's a vow. Like Samson, his hair was not shaved. When the hair was shaved, he lost his power. Okay, then verse 20 says this. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. Why Samuel? Because I asked the Lord for him. God, anoint this message. Jesus' name I pray. Okay, my title is God Over Answers Prayer. God Over Answers Prayer. Over Answers Prayer. Okay? God Over Answers Prayer. Present 10. I remember that when I was a young Christian, very young Christian, okay, I was around 17, 18 years old. I was attending a cell group. I was a youth leader, but I was also attending a cell group. And there was this elder in our cell group. And she made a statement that I can never forget, even until today. She said this, I have a notebook that I write down all the prayer requests I make to God. And whenever God answers that request, I make a tick on that request, indicating that it has been answered. Then she went on and said this statement, you will be very, she was talking to the whole cell group, you will be very surprised that God always answers all your prayer requests, whether small or big, significant or insignificant. Of course, she will pray over the prayer requests. Every morning worship, she will pray. Every morning devotion, she will pray over her prayer requests. And I think she did a very good practice. And I think we should learn from her. The thing is, God always answers. God always answers. Someone said, the faith to pray must include the faith to believe that God can give. That means God can answer. Even when our prayers are lacking, even in our prayers are imperfect, because God knows your heart. There are all sorts of things we pray all the time. We do not necessarily believe them to come to pass. But yet, there are prayer requests that get answered. Very powerful statement. I say again, there are all sorts of things we pray all the time, and we do not necessarily believe them to come to pass. Yet, they are answered. Our prayers, they get answered. What a statement. What an enlightening statement. I challenge us, if you do not believe, you go and buy a notebook. You start and use this notebook and you practice it. Get a pen and a notebook and write down the prayer request as you are having your devotion that you have prayed, and see how God will answer you one by one. He hears you. Let's learn something about how God over answers prayer. Number one, introduction to prayer. What is prayer? Very simple, okay? It's very, very basic. The simplest question to this answer is talking to God. Talking to God. It is like having a conversation with the Father. It is a picture of a communal bond, a father and a son, a communal bond between God and his children. And it starts with the child opening up the mouth and heart to speak or to petition to the Father. Very simple, very, very simple. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to anybody. God is here and God is everywhere. God is in your room. When you're walking, when you're praying, God is there walking beside you. Opening your mouth or petitioning Him. You know, I remember that I was in the military, the army. Okay, I was in the army. And there was this recruitment that this guy, they came. And they were from the Air Force. You know, the Air Force, they wear different clothes. Theirs is blue, very nice blue. Okay, and they are totally different from the army. And I wanted to be in the Air Force Air Defense Artillery. I wanted to. Okay, and God sees my desire. And I was a very young Christian. I was around 7 months or 8 months Christian. Okay, and God saw my desires. And as I go for an interview, it was a very difficult interview because they only need 60 people out of 1,000 plus people. And I say, God, can you get me into the Air Defense Force Artillery? And God answered my prayer. God answered, and I got in. I got into it. As we consistently move into a life of prayer, we grow. You see, when you grow in prayer, you grow into intimacy. Pastor Lily just now gave a download that one of you has lost your communion with God for a long, long time, and God asking you to get back to prayer, and God asks you to repent. I think that is very, very important, okay? It goes in line with my message also today. Because if you consistently move into a life of prayer, you grow in intimacy and fellowship with the Father. And you begin to understand who the Father is. You begin to understand the goodness of the Father. And ultimately, your relationship with God is strengthened. As a result, your life, your prayer begins to align with the will of God. Yeah, your prayer begins to align with the will of God. And the Bible says this, not to worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. Some of you here, you came here with a troubled mind. You are troubled about your health. You are troubled about your child. You are troubled about your finance. God says to you, not to worry about anything, but instead to pray about everything. Jesus, while on earth, lived a life of praying. He prayed often. And this was what happened. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 mentions, Jesus praying as he was baptized by John the Baptist. He said this, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. And as he was praying, the heaven opens. As he was praying, the heaven opens. Heaven opened. You have opened heaven as you pray. It means that the barrier to God is removed. The barrier to heaven is removed. And it is a symbol of access to God. As you pray, heaven opens. There is open heavens for you. Hey, what is the purpose of prayer? Contrary to what the world tells us, God is not our spiritual Santa Claus. Okay, please take note. God is not our sugar daddy. He's not our sugar daddy. You must understand this truth. He's not at our beckoning, at our call, just to answer every prayer that you pray. No, He's not. But yet, He will still answer your prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do your will, but instead, for us to align our will to God and the will that He has for our life. And you will be very, very, very surprised. There are many desires that you have that is in the will of God. There are many things that you long for. It's the will of God. I want to tell you, you'll be very surprised. There are many things that you want, and it is in line with the will of God. No, I desire to go to university. I wanted to go to university, and I was on the borderline case. Because before I become a Christian, I do not like to study. I didn't study hard. Then after half a year before the board exam, I got born again. The desire to go to university starts to grow. But what the time lab to study was too late, a little bit late. And I remembered I took the exam and I did badly for this paper. And I was very troubled when I was walking out of the board exam. But as you say, and I also pray, say, God, I just thank you. I thank you for everything. I just say, God, I thank you. And I desire to go to university. And there was enrollment. I was in the army. And the first year, and I was in army for the first 2 years. For the first year, I enrolled to university. I couldn't get it. But the second year, I enrolled and I got in. See, when I got saved, there's a desire to pursue university. And I prayed to God for an opening. And I received a slot. I received a slot to go to university because God wanted me to go to university. Your desire. God wanted me to go to university because He wanted me to learn how to do research so that I can learn to preach. Prepare sermon by going doing research and to preach the gospel. God knows. So please understand God's part. Don't always think that, God will never answer my prayer. You are so wrong. You are so wrong. You have such a wrong conception of God in your life. He says this, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, and there are many things in your desire that is according to God's will, He hears you. He hears you. B, God is still in the business of answering prayers. He's still in the business of answering prayers. All throughout Scripture, there is evidence to show that God, that prayers are answered, even if the prayer is not yes, okay? God shows us through His Word that He truly is a God who answers prayer. You know, in the book of Samuel, where I read just now, Hannah prayed to God for a child. Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. In her anguish, deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. You can put this in your name there. Okay? Put your name. Okay? If you will only remember Tony, my misery, remember me. Not forget Tony and give her this prayer request. Then I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Later on, in the book of Samuel, God answered a prayer in verse 20. So in the course of time, this is the part that we don't like. In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel because she said, I asked him of the Lord and the Lord hears me. See, God always answers. God always answers. You know, Joy and Jen are very afraid of Pastor Lily's prayer. Very, very afraid. Because something happened when Jen recently, her job got some problem. She said, Mommy, did you pray? Did you pray about this thing? Did you pray that I will have problem in my workplace? Pastor Lily just kept quiet. They are very afraid of Pastor Lily's prayer because they always get answered. You know, when Joy had her first pregnancy, secretly, she wanted a son. But then she said that Anyone, anything will do. Boy or girl will do. But in her heart, she wanted a son. Then you go and tell Pastor Lily that you wanted, anything will do. So Pastor Lily said, I want a baby. I want a grandchild. I want a granddaughter. Because the girl will always bring the husband to the side of our family. So like Ben and Daryl, they are more to our side. They are closer to us in our family than to their own family. So Pastor Lily wanted a girl. Okay, so she prayed for a granddaughter. Then when the result came out, Joy was very sad. Then when she heard Pastor Lee was the one who prayed for a girl, he said, why you pray for a girl? She was offended that Pastor Lily prayed for a girl because she wanted a boy. But children are very fickle. My daughters are very fickle. You know what happened? Then this second child, okay, this now Joy is on the way. She wants a boy. She wants a girl because she find that Elise and the two girls are better as playmate. Am I correct? Boy and girl, how to connect together? So she prefer a girl. She prefer a girl. Okay, so as playmate and can get along together and can change clothes easily, can just be open to one another. Okay? Then I saw it when Joy and Ben goes to the house of Jen. When they see Noah, I tell you, Joy every Thursday will make effort to go to the house of Jen to look at Noah, and I see the face of Ben, I see the face of Joy, filled with excitement for the boy. So I don't understand them. So I thought that they wanted a boy. Okay? So Pastor Lily prayed for a boy, and it came out a girl. Pastor Lily, we dare not tell them that we prayed for a girl. They prayed for, they wanted a girl. And it came out, now she is pregnant with a boy. We did not tell her that we prayed for a boy. Because I saw your face when you were looking at Noah. So I thought that you wanted a boy. God always answers prayer. Especially when they are living close to God. A Christian lady gave this testimony, personal testimony, of three answered prayer. She had a notebook. And she said, here are my personal testimony of answered prayer. The first one was for a job and 4 months of waiting. She said, I was working on this job and was not making much and I couldn't survive with that salary. I have in my mind the figure that should be correct so that I can survive to survive. Okay? So she took the leap. She said, I took the leap of faith to quit the job. And I embarked on the journey of preparing resume, flexing all my muscle, going for all the interviews. And for 4 months, she couldn't get a job. She couldn't get a job. Then she said, one day I got an interview with a university. And the job was exactly what I was looking for. And even not, but the sad part is that the figure that they promised me was not close to the number that I wanted. And she has lost her job for 4 months. She said, I still reject the job, trusting that God would pull me through. Then the next day, she received a call from another company that she had previously interviewed with. And the company gave her this job. And the salary exceeded the figure that she wanted more. And it was exactly the same job, the kind of job that she wanted. It was 4 months of waiting. Then another example of her life, she said, 9 years of waiting, answered prayer for children. She said, in 2014, my husband and wife had our first child, Isaiah. At that time, it was my desire to have daughters, she said. And I prayed for them. God spoke to me and told me that I will have 6 children. And God even given me the names of all these 6 children. But the first 2 children were boys. Okay? Then he said, in the fall of last year, that year, okay, one of my church brothers came to me and said, to get ready because God is going to send a daughter to her. The next month, another Christian girl in the church told her the same thing. I found out by surprise, she said, that I was 3.5 months pregnant with the first of my 2 daughters. God is faithful. 9 years of waiting. Then another one is 20 years of waiting, answered prayer. See, I want to share a personal experience where God answered a prayer of mine. Back in 2005, I was starting this undergraduate course at Michigan State University. And there was a desire in my heart to work in the medical field. She said, I did not come from this academically good, qualified, good school. So I have to relearn and reteach and go through. It was extremely hard for me, she said. I had to literally retrain myself in everything. Long story short, she said, I wanted to go into nursing. But the program was so competitive that I was so discouraged that I couldn't get in. They said, in the spring of 2020, God put it in my heart to go back to school for nursing. Then she said, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was filling an application form. And the question was asked, why do you want to become a nurse? He said, I wrote down, God has called me for such a time as this. I was accepted into GSU pre-nursing course. Was able to retain all my prerequisites. I applied to the official nursing program and was rejected 3 times. I figured I will apply one more time. Here, on the 4th time, I am accepted and on my way to the second semester nursing student at George State University. Again, God is faithful. You know, Pastor Lily prayed for a sister for 30 years, more than 30 years, for her salvation. You just imagine 30 years is not a short time. There was one time I remember she wrote a letter to her, and it was filled with so many pages. And when she was writing the letters, there was tears in her eyes. She was telling her sister, please accept Christ. I want you to accept Christ. She sent the letter. No response. No mention about the letters at all. Not even until today, there was no mention of that letter at all. But God heard that prayer. 30 years. God even allowed Pastor Lily to be instrumental to lead her sister to Christ. God answers prayer. Number 2. God not only answers prayer, God over answers prayer. God over... Please, I'm trying to let you understand that this is the God you are. And I'm also speaking to myself. God over answers prayer. I want to act as a lawyer and build a case that will prove to you that in everything, all through the Bible, continuing to this present day, God always over answers the prayers of His children. He continually gives much more than we ask for. And often things that we did not even think of, we did not even request, He gave it to you. One of the most often heard phrase in the Bible, in the church, is God answers prayer. That is only half truth. The whole truth is this: God often over answers prayer. All through the Bible, to this present day, God always over answers the prayer of His children. He continually gives us much more than we ask for. Often things we will not think to request. Look at the record. Good at the example here. Firstly, God over answers in prayer requests. The best example is Hannah. Hannah is a perfect example of God over answering prayer. I'm not talking about sweeping prayer. I'm not talking about obliging prayer. I'm not talking about haphazard prayer. I'm not talking about shallow prayer. I'm talking about a prayer that is sincere, earnest, really from your heart, persistent, humble, a faith that will lead to confidence and trust after prayer. Here is how it happened. Hannah was barren and deeply grieved. The Bible said there are 3 things that men cannot understand, and one of them is a barren woman. So Hannah was that woman, and she prayed for one son. One son. God, I vow. You know, many people that vow but never keep their vow. She said, I vow to dedicate him to the Lord's service. And she vowed a vow and said, oh Lord, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget the handmaid, but give me unto me this a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Her prayer was simple. God, just give me one child. God heard the prayer and answered a request. In what ways? She bore Samuel. Samuel means God has heard her prayer. The name Samuel means God has heard. So when you are in trouble, God has heard. Then if you want a child, and God give you a child, if it's a boy, call him Samuel. God has heard. God did not give Hannah a son, just a son. He gave him a history-shaping prophet. Then God visited her again and conceived, and she bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Instead of one child, she received 6 in total. The spiritual truth between this story is surrender your desires to God, and He will answer abundantly more than you ask or imagine. You know, every time you got prayers of desperation, and I think that it's all right to have prayers of desperation, God does more than you ask. You know, Hannah's story is a powerful example of how God not only answers prayer, but over answers it, going beyond what you ask. She asked for a son, God gave her a prophet. She dedicated 1, God gave her 6. She came in sorrow, God filled her with joy. Her private pain became public testimony. Sometimes we pray small specific prayer out of desperation, but often God goes beyond that, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask and think. Secondly, God over answers concerning our sin. Maybe some of you are in this position. You have sinned against God. And here is God's response to you. In Hosea 14, God over-answered Israel concerning their sin. The example is for those who have sinned against God in whatever capacity you are. Okay? Even if you have committed murder. You know, there are some people that they cannot forget something they have done and it was wrong. And they think that God cannot forgive them. No. God can forgive. In Hosea 14:2, Hosea said this to Israel: "You are backslidden, but you are still God's people. Now return to the Lord and pray." Then this Israelite pray: "Take with you your words and unto him say, take away my iniquity and receive us graciously." The prayer was simple, very simple. All Israel asked was God to take away their sin and receive them graciously. You should do that. God, have mercy. Cleanse me. Receive me back into your grace. You don't have to perform any rituals. You don't have to perform any penance. You don't have to go and see a priest. You don't have to take 100 days of fasting. No. God not only forgive you, He will not only cleanse you, but He will receive you back graciously. And not only that, He will add blessings beyond imagination. Yeah, I read to you, and I want you to put your name inside there. Hosea 14, 4-7. I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely. My anger is turned away from you. I will be as the dew unto you. You shall grow as the lily. I mean, one of the most beautiful flowers is lily. Lily grows in a valley. It talks about the valley, talks about life of trials and problems. But out of lives and trials, there is a beautiful lily. You see, God said you will grow. That means that you will grow to be a beautiful person in the midst of all the trials and pain in life. And cast forth your roots as Lebanon. Your branches shall spread. Your beauty shall be as the olive tree. Your smell as Lebanon. Lebanon is famous for cedar tree. When you go to Bukhari, is it Bukhari? You go up, you see the pine tree. When I go out in the morning, I can smell the pine tree smell. I tell you, very nice smell. And God is saying that you will smell, you will see, experience the smell of as Lebanon. You experience the dew, the sand. You know what Pastor Lee say? Even when the trees smell the scent of water, they start to grow. The stump, just smell. The water hasn't touched them, they smell. You that dwell under His shadow shall return. You will revive as a corn. you will grow as the vine. The sand, the dew, thereof shall be at the wine of Lebanon. Dew is the presence of the Lord. Up to this point, maybe your life has been drought. Everything is dying because God's favor has been taken away from you. But now, that's what I'm telling you. You don't have to do anything. You just be honest and come to God. Now, because of your true repentance and heartfelt prayer, God will cause life to spring up from all sides. You not only will be forgiven, you will be revived. You will grow, become rooted. You will thrive. Hosea 14:2-7 is God called to you who have sinned against Him. Number three, God offers answers concerning enemies. Judges 10:9 say, moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight, so that Israel was sore distressed. The Ammonites were descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. The name means sons of my people. Sons of my people. So these people are related to us. Literally and figuratively, they are related to us. So most probably, it talks about people in the church. It talks about people in your family. If they are people, they are enemies. If they are people, they will be enemies. They will be enemies. Some are intentionally doing harm to you. Some are unintentional. For the unintentional, I call them well-intentioned dragon. They are people with good intention. Criticize constantly. Resist change. Spread negativity. And drains the leader's energy. They are not necessarily evil. Just challenging, well-intentioned dragon. Dragon, well-intentioned. You will face people who feels and acts like dragon. They are difficult, but not malicious, church friend. So these are the two kind of people you will face in life. God will over answers concerning enemies even. Going back to the text, Amnon has been used by God to correct Israel's sin. God uses enemies to correct our sin. So they because of these enemies, they pray to God, we have sinned, do to us whatever so good unto you, deliver us only, we pray to you this day. So when the enemy comes to you like a flood, they begin to be haunted by the sin. That is the case with many of us. They could not conceive of asking God for anything more than just, God, spare me, spare me. Okay, that's the first step you should do. The simplest prayer is, God, deliver me just this once. God will not deliver you just this once. God will deliver you over abundantly. The example is Jephthah, okay, who destroyed the Ammonites. Jephthah represents the most unlikely person. The most cannot believe person that will come and deliver you. God can use unlikely situation, unlikely people to come and deliver you from your enemies. Jephthah. Most Christians pray, God, give me victory in this one battle. God say, I will give you more than that. I have much more in store for you. I want to subdue your enemy so that you will not have just one victory at one time. I want you to have total victory because God wants to give you power not just to overcome, but to subdue your enemy. He wants you not just to conquer sin, but to be more than a conqueror. God over answers even concerning enemies. You'll be shocked. You'll really be shocked how God over answers concerning enemies. Then, next one. God over answers concerning His giving, your giving. This is an example of Elisha and the widow's oil. Okay, most of us find ourselves in the position of this widow. Okay, she is a prophet's wife. She is a prophet's wife. So she is a person of God, a people of God. And she was suffering. There was a famine. She found herself in desperate debt. Maybe some of you are in desperate debt. Okay, creditors wanted to take two of her sons as slaves. She had only one small jar of oil. Elisha said, I want you to borrow as much oil as you can, jars as you can, and pour the oil. And she poured, and she poured. The oil in the first jar did not go empty, but you continue to pour until all the jars in the room was full. Miracle. Miracle. If she has 20, the faith to have 20, She has 20 jars of oil. She has faith only for two, she'll have two jars of oil. But this lady had faith, and she borrowed a lot of jars of oil. God gave her abundance. She God gave so much, and not only the debt was clear, the sons were clear, were no more slave, and she got so much left over to live on. So much left over to live on. But the most important part is, you must act in the step of faith, like this lady. You know, I remember that in my early years, many of us, we dare not take steps of faith. I remember that when I stepped into the church, when I was a very young Christian, 17, 18 years old, when offering is asked, I gave everything. Sometimes I gave everything until I don't have money to take transport back. There was one time I gave and I have to go back to the army, 5 kilometers away. You know what I did? I ran for 5 kilometers back to my army, took a bath, because I have no money to go take a bus to go to the army. I run for 5 kilometers to go to the army. I heard of a man, okay, he's no more in our church, that he said that many a times when he gave offering in Quezon, he gave everything that he has to walk from Quezon all the way to Punta Duran. He has no more money. And the person is he's a professor right now. I did it several times, several examples. Like what happened to the leader lady. She gave, but it was all. And God multiplied it. I want to tell you something. God knows how much. You can bluff to the people. You can pretend. Okay, you can act. God knew how much you sacrificed in your giving. And He took note of your sacrificial giving. You don't believe? He remembered this widow. See, he was walking to the church, called the synagogue or the temple, and he saw this widow. He was watching her. This widow has two mites, and she was praised because she gave it all. The story of the widow of the two mites is so powerful. Jesus was in the temple watching. Don't say that Jesus did not watch how you give. Jesus watched how you give. You don't have to pretend to anybody. Jesus was in the temple watching people put offering into the temple. Jesus, is you doing that today? And you saw this lady came and gave 2 copper coins, the smallest of currency in circulation at that time. But she gave everything. She has nothing left in her pocket. She gave all she had. It cost her deeply. God values her heart and sacrifice behind the gift more than the size of the gift. She demonstrated total trust in God. You know what she did? She gave humbly, quietly, in obedience. Just humbly, quietly. No show of demonstration. No announcement. No pride. Just simple obedience. God is looking for these people. He measured devotion, not display. What happened to the prophet's widow? We know the story. The jar was full. The Bible tells us, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Corinthians 2:9-10 says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for those who give. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You know, a well-known philosopher went to see Alexander the Great. You know, Alexander the Great, I think the greatest, to be honest, the greatest conqueror in this world that ever existed in this whole world is Alexander the Great. I'll tell you something, nobody can beat him. And he died at the age of 33. He's like the Antichrist, the coming Antichrist. So this well-known philosopher came to Alexander the Great because he has done Alexander the Great a good deed. And he asked the king, This Alexander the Great, for the gift of 100 talents of silver for her, for his daughters. Everybody present was aghast. Alexander had a big smile on his face. He said, give it to him. It is a request worthy of King Alexandra. It is worthy of my wealth and my ability to give. Today, God is greater than Alexandra the Great. He will have a big smile on his face and say, I give it to you. It is worthy of me as God. It is worthy of my wealth and my ability to give. My wealth and my ability to give. I conclude. I jump very fast. Some of us, we embarrass God by our puny requests. Then God said, prove me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that therewith there shall be no room enough to receive it. In conclusion, okay, last week Pastor Lily said my first point was very long. Today I realize I'm too short already. We grieve God, even anger God, by not asking. You know, some of us, it's very, very sad. We continue in our pain, we continue in our struggles, we continue in our life, and we use our own strength and ability, and we never ask God for help. You grieve God. You anger Him by not asking. And we have a greater Hannah here today. At the Garden of Gethsemane, like Hannah, Jesus prayed and was in sorrow and anguish, like Hannah. He said, my soul is overwhelmed and with sorrow to the point of death when he prayed. For Hannah, God answered her, his prayer. For Jesus, God did not answer his prayer. In fact, the next moment, in the Garden of Gethsemane, soldiers came. Immediately after the prayer request, soldiers came and took him away and beat him up and crucified him on the cross. Why? It was so that when he died for your sins so that your prayer can be answered. He died for you so that when you bring things to God, your prayer can be heard. You say, are you sure, Pastor? God said, I tore the veil from the top to the bottom. Meaning to say, God, tear heavens open so that from top you will come down. The veil did not tear from the bottom to the top. The veil tear from the top to the bottom. So that we can freely come to the Father. Having our sins forgiven. Because when God look at you today, He look at Jesus. And smile on the face of Jesus. When He look at you. Pleased with you. Because of Jesus. So that He can over answer your prayer today. So that He can over answer your prayer today. You know, we all are very spiritual. We try to be spiritual. I just worship the Lord. I don't ask Him for anything. Whatever He wants to me is good enough. Hey, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be. Wow, you sound very holy. But it is not according to the Word of God. Over and over, Jesus tell you, ask in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Ask anything whatsoever you ask. Ask what you will. And you have not because you ask not. God give good things to those who ask. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. Even before you ask. Ask the Father in my name and He will give it to you. I'm going to have an altar call. You don't come up if you don't have a prayer. But like Hannah, there's a prayer. There's a desperation. There's a concern. There is a thing that troubles your heart. You don't come if you don't have. Okay, God will only answer those that come. That has this desperate prayer, this request. You come to the altar. And you pray for that prayer. And you pray like Hannah. sincere, honest, open towards God in faith. Shall we all stand up? Musician,